You are listening to Below Zero, How Low Rates Are Reshaping the Investment Landscape, a report commissioned by Fullerton Fund Management, written in collaboration with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Touted as a central bank emergency response tool, negative interest rates across much of the developed world are becoming an entrenched norm. Even before the coronavirus pandemic paralyzed economies and sent markets into a tailspin, interest rates in Japan and much of Europe were below zero, and negative yields had enveloped a quarter of the global bond market. Since March 2020, central bank rates have been negative in either nominal or real terms across the group of seven leading economies: Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the UK, and the US. This report examines the impact of ultra-low rates on portfolio allocation, the changing economic backdrop, and the risks and opportunities for investors in a world where monetary stimulus is being pushed to its limits. For the second time in little more than a decade, policymakers around the world have been forced to take extreme measures to avert a global economic collapse. The coronavirus outbreak has shut down swathes of international commerce, put entire countries in lockdown, and left governments, even those ideologically opposed to state interference, propping up private industry. Just as after the financial crisis of 2008, central banks slashed policy rates and printed money to fund asset-buying sprees. The aim is to lower market interest rates, making it easier for companies and governments to borrow. The power of central banks to move markets is undisputed, but their power to revive economies has never been more in doubt. Central banks' willingness to flood markets with cash and buy corporate as well as government debt has fueled an astonishing rebound in risk assets. But for how long can asset prices decouple from economic growth? And what are the long-term implications for the financial system? To examine these dynamics, the report draws upon extensive desk research and in-depth interviews with practitioners in the field. We elaborate on the seven key findings. Number 1. Quantitative easing has unintended side effects. Negative interest rates and quantitative easing are the biggest monetary experiments of modern times, and they have not worked exactly as policymakers intended. Negative rates have hit commercial banks' operating margins hard, curbing their ability to lend, and only a fraction of the money created by central banks has found its way to the real economy. By appearing to favor those with assets more than those without, quantitative easing has been blamed for exacerbating inequalities and fueling populist sentiment. 2. Interest rates are expected to stay lower for longer. The longer emergency rates are kept in place, the more likely they are to become a permanent fixture. Zero and sub-zero rates keep inefficient companies operating and allow debt to pile up. In a low-growth, low-inflation world, such policies can be hard to reverse, as Japan and the Eurozone have already found to their cost. Extraordinary stimulus measures may help economies weather the coronavirus pandemic, but they are coming up against a long-term downward trend in growth and inflation that shows no sign of abating. 3. Valuations are becoming harder to interpret. Abundant central bank liquidity has buoyed asset prices and generated above-average portfolio returns over the past decade. Cheap credit has led to a flurry of debt-funded equity buybacks, mergers, and acquisitions, despite a lackluster economy backdrop. Growth stocks have outperformed value stocks as investors have questioned the validity of traditional valuation metrics. 4. Alternative assets are facing a coming-of-age test. The ultra-low interest rate environment of the past decade has spawned newer, less liquid asset classes, which the pandemic is sure to test. Investment in alternatives, such as private debt, infrastructure, real estate, and private equity, typically requires long-term commitments. That time frame may shield them from short-term market volatility, and the broadening sector can offer flexibility in risk-return profiles. 5. The influence of fiscal policy is mounting. With monetary policy options all but exhausted, fiscal policy will need to play a bigger role in economic management, and this expansion of the state may prove long-lasting. Government support for industry could come with conditions that are hard to shake off when the pandemic is over. Fiscal stimulus could lift public borrowing to levels not seen since the 1940s and necessitate a deluge of government bond sales. Conveniently, many of the same countries issuing bonds are also instructing their central banks to buy them. 6. Asset holders are favored. Unconventional central bank stimulus creates winners and losers, just like government bailouts. Debtors are favored over savers, as are the asset rich over the asset poor, which capital markets in powerful economies like the US, Europe, and Japan benefit at the expense of those in smaller and developing economies. Fiscal policy can offset some redistributive effects at a national level, but not across borders. Assets of emerging economies poorly equipped to deal with the spread of coronavirus are likely to be hardest hit. 7. Central bank rescues favor risk takers. An entrenched belief that central banks will ride to the rescue whenever markets wobble is likely to encourage future risk taking. Central banks buying corporate debt means directly supporting big business, while buying junk bonds means tacitly supporting private equity companies that specialize in highly leveraged buyouts. Public anger at the bank bailouts in 2008 will be exacerbated if authorities are seen to reward corporate raiders at a time when most incomes are being squeezed. Central banks set a difficult precedent if they are seen to be both a buyer and lender of last resort. With low interest rates across much of the developed world becoming an entrenched norm, what is the impact of low rates on portfolio allocation and the risks and opportunities for investors? In this next segment, we will share the viewpoints from Fullerton's Chief Investment Officer and investment subject matter experts on the opportunities that exist across equities, fixed income, alternatives, and multi-asset amidst this low interest rate landscape. Equities, adding value through stock selection. Abundant central bank liquidity has buoyed asset prices and generated above-average portfolio returns over the past decade. This has significant implications on valuation metrics, such as price-to-earnings multiples for stocks with different characteristics within the broad market, says Andrew Moore, head of equities research at Fullerton. With growth becoming scarce, investors should look to sustainable growth companies that will be on the right side of technological disruption with strong balance sheets and high return on equity. The attractive investment themes for investors over the medium term are e-commerce, technology, healthcare, mass consumption, premium consumption infrastructure, and the hunt for yield. Andrew concludes that stock selection will remain paramount in a low interest rate environment, as economy-wide growth will not likely be sufficient to lift all boats, leading to a wider difference between stock market winners and losers. Fixed income. seeking bond returns in a low interest rate world. In a lower for longer interest rate environment, investors could consider investing in Asia's high quality bond markets for better yields, shares Ongwa Cheng, head of fixed income at Fullerton. In Asian local currency government bonds, investors can access markets with 100% investment grade ratings. Yields are also much higher than developed markets. Elsewhere, investing in high-quality, attractively valued credit markets is also a worthwhile consideration. Asian USD credit market is dominated by investment-grade issuers. Valuation remains attractive in a low-interest rate environment, and this can be further enhanced by a selective approach in high-yield credits. Alternatives. The role of alternatives in a low-growth world. The alternative asset class encompasses a wide spectrum of sub-asset classes and risk-return profiles, making it suitable to a range of investors from risk-averse to risk-seeking. Tan Hak Kim, head of alternatives at Fullerton, observes that during periods of growth, alternatives allow investors to complement their public market portfolio by taking advantage of the buoyant beta. While during periods of low growth, alternatives help to protect against public market volatility while continuing to generate alpha. In a new global normal of low interest rates, alternatives will continue to grow quickly as portfolio managers and allocators recognize the ability of alternatives in adding alpha, uncorrelated returns, and diversification to their portfolios. Multi-asset. Adopt an active approach. Vincent Chan, head of multi-asset at Fullerton, opines that economic and financial market cycles are likely to experience large swings as governments attempt to revive growth. A nimble investment approach is warranted, and there are three key features. Firstly, strong risk management is needed to navigate large swings in equity and bond markets. Secondly, asset allocation strategy needs to drill down to specific countries and sectors to invest in pockets of growth. Finally, we need to avoid passive investments, such as passive index funds, as structural adjustment will throw up few winners and many companies may struggle. CIO view: rethinking investment strategies in a low-growth world. Patrick Yeo, Chief Investment Officer at Fullerton, observes that a key lesson from the last decade is that forecasting the future is often difficult. So, what investors must do is have a suite of strategies prepared for different outcomes, which reflect their risk and return preferences. Investors will have to be cautious and selective, given the likelihood that the post-pandemic environment is fundamentally different. They should avoid the temptation to take on too much risk and leverage in trying to chase their desired returns. To navigate the environmental shifts, investors should avoid the temptation to take on too much risk and leverage in trying to chase their desired returns. A more prudent strategy would be to continue to focus on a fundamentals-driven portfolio, but consider allocations beyond the typical equity-bond mix, with alternative assets such as real estate, private equity, private debt, and gold. In conclusion, the longer-term consequences of government and central bank rescue packages may be profound. Central banks have a long-established role to intervene as lender of last resort in a liquidity crisis, but providing direct support to risk assets is a new departure. Some argue that the Fed's willingness to buy exchange-traded funds and even junk bonds threatens the basis of capitalism, that risky companies should be allowed to fail and could encourage debt to build up and cause an even bigger crisis further down the line. If authorities intervene to support asset prices whenever markets wobble, there is little incentive for investors to moderate risk-taking behavior or for companies to stop loading up on debt. With central banks exhausting policy options and no prospect of a swift recovery, the coronavirus pandemic looks set to usher in an era of fiscal and monetary coordination more like the economies of the 1930s and 1940s. The result is likely to be unprecedented government borrowing over the next few years, matched by unprecedented central bank bond buying, and, in places, yield curve control policies to keep short-dated interest rates low. For now, QE looks set to be the main monetary lever. Buying bonds with newly created money was considered a leap into the unknown when it was first tried after the 2008 crisis, but since the virus outbreak, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, South Africa, Colombia, Poland and Indonesia have all jumped on the QE bandwagon. Just like government bailouts, QE creates winners and losers. Debtors are favored over savers, the asset rich over the asset poor, and powerful economies like the US, Europe, and Japan benefit at the expense of smaller and developing economies. Diversification is likely to become even more important for investors as negative real interest rates upend traditional asset allocation strategies and policymaking enters a more unpredictable phase. Alternative assets look set to move into the mainstream, with increasingly flexible risk-return profiles broadening their appeal. Geographic diversification will also be important as regions with growth potential become increasingly sought after in a low-growth world. China's ascent as an independent financial and economic center of gravity will be an important diversifying force, providing a counterweight to a hitherto US-dominated world. The convergence of unprecedented economic conditions and unconventional policy responses is altering market structures, shaking traditional valuation metrics, and broadening investment choices. With central banks resolved to protect financial markets and little sign that either inflation or interest rates will move higher, there are good reasons to believe we have entered a new investment paradigm. This recording is based on information available at the time the report is prepared and is for your information only. This recording is presented to you by Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 2003-126-72W, and is provided for information only. The information contained shall not be copied, reproduced, modified, translated, or distributed without the prior approval of Fullerton. No offer or invitation is considered to be made if such offer is not authorized or permitted. This is not the basis for any contract to deal in any security or instrument, or for Fuller or its affiliates to enter into or arrange any type of transaction. Any investments made are not obligations of, deposits in, or guaranteed by Fullerton. Any past performance, prediction, or forecast is not indicative of future or likely performance. The contents herein may be amended without notice. Fullerton, its affiliates, and their directors and employees do not accept any liability from the use of the information in this recording. Thank you for listening. To read or download this full publication, or for more of Fullerton's market update and insights, visit our website at fullertonfund.com. While every effort has been taken to verify the accuracy of this information, the Economist Intelligence Unit Limited cannot accept any responsibility or liability for reliance by any person on this report or any of the information, opinions, or conclusions set out in this report. The findings and views expressed in the report do not necessarily reflect the views of the sponsor.